Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I always want to start the show by thanking you guys and gals and the community for making the show amazing. All the reviews on iTunes, the feedback on Facebook, joining the group, listening to the podcast, YouTube channel, all the cool ways you get Grow My Cleaning Company. We love the way that this community is growing. If you are watching us on YouTube, feel free to take us on the road by subscribing to the podcast. No matter where you're listening, check out growmycleaningcompany.com. That's where everything lives that is awesome and fantastic for growing your company. growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with return guest Christopher Schwab from Think Maids. If you want to reach out to Christopher, you know what? I forgot to get your website, brother. What's your website?
Yeah, it's just thinkmaids.com.
Thinkmaids. I could have probably guessed it and no one would have been the wiser, but as soon as I guess it, it's wrong. So if you want to reach out to Christopher, thinkmaids.com. Christopher, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, man. I'm happy to be back.
Well, first and foremost, let's before we jump into the coaching part, let's get an update. Tell us where you were when we spoke last in Cleaning Nation. I'll make sure I put a link to his old show notes page as well. But give me an idea of where you were when we last talked and what's happened and where you're at now, if you don't mind.
Sure. When we last talked last year, I was pretty new to the maid business. I talked to you maybe 2.5 months into it.
Okay.
I was still in university, so I was juggling that. I was juggling part-time freelance work. I was juggling the business. And it was at that point that I was having to make the decision between doing the business full-time or keeping it sort of as a side hustle.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the reasons after we talked was that I wanted to do it full-time was because eventually it would enable me to travel, which is sort of what I'm doing now. And so through that call, we were able to discuss where I'm at revenue-wise, teams-wise, what I'm doing in my marketing, and how I'm building up my local reputation so that it would get me to a stage where it could facilitate that and also bring in money for myself. So that was sort of the mindset part of it. Where I was in hard numbers was back then, I believe I had around 3 teams and I was bringing in around sort of 16 to 18K a month, which is pretty good for how soon it was. But when you want to travel and you want to live abroad in an expensive city like Tokyo, it wasn't nearly enough for where I needed it to be.
Okay.
So I was sort of in that, I was sort of straddling the middle between enough and not enough. That's where I was back then. My big problem there was setting up systems in place so that I didn't need to be there. And that's what our coaching call was about, which helped a lot. So that's where I was back then. Moving forward the next sort of 8-10 months, where I am now, I'm around 30, 32,000 a month in revenue. I'm trying to break 50K by the end of the year each month, but that's sort of the ideal goal. I've added, I've almost doubled my teams. I'm at around six teams right now, 5 of which are pretty much full time. Full time for us is 2 to 3 houses a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did the traveling go? Were you able to keep this whole thing spinning while you traveled, or have you been stuck running your company?
Yeah. So I'll try and make it concise, but a lot of that has happened. So the way I did it was, instead of waking up in the middle of the night in Japan at 2 a.m. to take a phone call, I actually brought on 2 VAs that I split duties between. So I have 1 VA who handles bookings and phone calls and teams, and the other VA who handles emails and thumbtack, basic marketing, and any sort of administrative tasks that come in, like charging cards.
Okay, so you have running your company from Japan or from Tokyo.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I actually moved to Tokyo about 5 months ago now in March. And yeah, everything's been running smoothly. I spend maybe 2.5-3 hours a day on my maid business now.
Beautiful. And when you say VA, you're talking virtual assistant. I'm assuming that's part-time?
Both of them are part-time, but it comes out to around 1 full person full-time.
Okay.
But both of them work just a couple hours a day because we spent a lot of time building the system, so they don't actually have to do that much. There's some things that they have to do, like customer follow-up, for example, or scheduling the teams. But a lot of the back end stuff, they don't really need to worry about at all.
Okay, beautiful. So, and are those VAs in the States, or can you give us an idea of kind of what, because you can get them overseas for cheap, you can get them in the States for a little more expensive. What kind of financial commitment is it to have a couple part-time people helping you like that?
Yeah. So my VAs are all US based.
Okay.
I pay them around $18 an hour. And that gives it, so what that gets you is it really does get you a lot more than sort of paying someone $7 an hour. They have prior business experience themselves. They have prior admin and customer support experience, so they're very comfortable on the phone. They're very comfortable scheduling people. They're certainly better than I was as a college student.
Beautiful.
You know, there was no comparison there. They're native English speakers. They're very highly organized. I can't speak highly enough of these two people. I really can't. Their names are Melissa and Gary, by the way.
Shout out Melissa and Gary. If you guys happen to be listening, apparently you're awesome. So congratulations on that. Are those the first two that you hired? Because that's fantastic. Did you just, or did you have to go through four or five to get to the two special ones? Or did you just, I don't want to say get lucky, but combine luck and skill and hire the first two perfect ones right out of the bat?
Well, I think I'm lucky in that I was hiring a bunch of VAs anyway. I actually started a side business where I help people bring on VAs for their business. So in that sense, these two were the very first ones that I brought on. And so I brought them on for myself, which was really cool. I interviewed them and you just get that feeling when you know if someone is perfect. And I'm just lucky enough that those are the first ones. They've been really great ever since.
That's luck and skill, man, because you need both. You don't know what you're doing, you're going to get killed. And if you don't have a little luck, it can be tough.
There's a lot of anxiety around that stuff. You know, like when you're letting someone manage your business's daily stuff for you, I think there's a lot of anxiety around that because you're so into it deep yourself every day. At least for me, there was.
Well, the impressive thing for me is I've done a lot of traveling and having competent people run my business, but generally I was in the United States or a similar time zone. So maybe we're 2 or 3 hours off, but not Tokyo is the other side of the world from the United States. So like you said, you're sleeping during business hours. So that's a big, I've not even done that. I think I could, but I haven't. So I like, that's really the ultimate in, hey, this thing's going to run. I'm literally going to be making money while I sleep.
Yeah. You know, it kind of worked out really well in the sense that maybe this will sound a little weird, but it helped me. So my day basically is I get up early, work for around an hour and a half on some basic stuff, basically relax on during the day, work on some side projects or maybe a big project I have coming up. And then at night, I work for another hour and a half on basic stuff that comes in. So I work in the morning when my VAs are working and at night when they're just getting off. So they basically report to me at the end, beginning and end of the day, and that's it really.
Smart. So you kind of book it.
So during the day, I'm actually able to focus.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So it kind of works well. But yeah, there is trust involved. If, you know, if it's 3 a.m. and something happens, you're not going to know for a few hours.
Which honestly could be good because a lot of times we think we've got to be kind of micromanaging this stuff. But the reality is, you know, well, what if the building catches on fire? Well, then call the fire department. I don't know. I don't know anything about putting out fires. So it's like some of these things, it's nice to be able to force your team, both the VAs and the staff, to just kind of figure stuff out. And a lot of times I found the more, when you hire well, the more you give people free rein to do that, you'd be surprised how they step up to the task.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've never been the micromanaging type, and I think I would have been if I was in a closer time zone. So you're right, man. That they were good from the get go. They knew they had a lot of responsibility on them, so they quickly jumped into that role instead of having a preset role that I tried to shift them from.
Cool. All right. Well, last question. Then I promise I'll give you some coaching. You came on for coaching. I'm grilling you, but your story is fascinating. Do you have a plan of what's going to happen if and when one or both of these guys or gals transition out? Because usually that's the one kind of hiccup is life's good until one or two key people leave, and then all of a sudden life's a lot less good. Have you dealt with that before? Do you have any plans or thoughts of how you'll deal with that when it comes up?
Yeah, that is a fear just because they've been so great. You know, there have been a day or two where they've had to take a day off and I stepped in and man, I forgot how stressful that is. That is brutal going back after you've transitioned out. It's brutal going back and answering the phones and doing all that stuff again. So that definitely kept that in mind. What I've done to sort of mitigate that risk, because you know, whether it's 2, 10, however many years down the line, eventually they're going to transition out.
Sure.
I have them write everything down. There's a software that actually a former guest on your podcast, Neil, I'm not sure if I can say his last name or not.
He's a one-on-one client of mine now, and I can't say his last name. I think it's Park, and I'll try if it's who I'm thinking of. I'll try and link to that
because
that's a good show. Okay, yeah, I'll try and link to that Cleaning Nation. So go to growingcleancover.com if you want that link. Go ahead, brother.
So he recommended a software called Atlassian for documents and training and onboarding material and stuff. So I actually got a subscription to that. You know, it's like $9 a month or something. It's cheap. And I have my VAs write down things. So like if there's bad situations or complaints or something that comes up, they write it down in there for us. If there is something that, you know, we change something when we bring on a new team, we put them down in there. The contracts are in there. So if there's regular customers that have specific notes, we put them in Launch 27, a program that we use, and Atlassian as well. So anything that they're doing that's out of the ordinary that I would have to teach someone, they're writing those little notes down too. And I actually make sure that they do that. I do check in on that.
Beautiful. Cause that's, I love that you've got a plan, right? A lot of people just like, well, how would I have known that they're, well, of course they're going to leave. People always leave, right? And like you said, maybe it's a month from now, maybe it's 20 years from now, who knows, but they get sick, they lose interest, they get married, they move, you know, all sorts of things happen. So I love that you've got a plan. And obviously if and when that happens, it's going to be some sort of transition, but it's going to be a lot better when everything's written down and you're kind of prepared for it as opposed to just some sort of surprise. All right. Man, that's been fantastic. I feel like we chewed up the whole call with you and your fantastic call, but or you and your fantastic background, but I want to hook you up. So what is shaking, man? What can I do to help you today?
Yeah. So the past few months, I'm excited for this part. The past few months, I have been trying to bring on good window cleaners and carpet cleaners because I want to offer other types of cleaning as well besides just house cleaning. And I just think those are great complementary services. And there's not really that many people doing them in DC, so I think I have a good angle there. But okay. I've tried a few carpet cleaners and a window cleaner now, and there's something. It's much harder for me, at least, to find teams who are willing to work with us as contractors in those fields. There's something about a mindset, at least for the people I've ran into. There's something about the mindset with carpet cleaners and window cleaners. It's more, they don't like to take any sort of instruction, or it's very do it my way kind of thing with them, the ones I've run into so far. And so I found people who are good at their job, but they just quickly don't want to work with us, even if we pay well, because they feel like, you know, we're taking away their freedom in some sense. I'm not sure if I'm phrasing that really well for you, but I'm having trouble finding people who will be a good personality match and skill match in those fields for our business. And so I've had a lot of trouble adding these services on, even though a lot of customers want it. So I was wondering if you could go over with me how to sort of streamline and make sure I'm getting someone who's a good fit for our business for those things.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I always coach hire for core value match first and train for skill. And it sounds like that's what you're wanting to do in terms of, hey, they may be great technicians, but we're looking for great team members that know how to do this task, whether it be carpet cleaning or window cleaning, not great carpet cleaners that will agree to be on our team. So it seems like we're mincing words and it's we're splitting hairs, but it's a huge difference. So first and foremost, I'm looking for a core values match right off the bat. The ability to do the task is just a pass fail. Either you can clean carpets acceptably or you're not. There's no gray area. In terms of a core value match, there's a lot of gray area, and that's what I'd start with. That said, let's back it up a couple steps. You said you're in the DC market, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So you didn't ask this, but again, I'm going to answer just because I want to make sure that we get value for you and Cleaning Nation. What precipitated you deciding to go into windows and carpets in addition to maid service?
To be completely honest, I just wanted to have a change of pace, change of scenery.
Okay.
I just wanted to try something new.
That is a perfect answer. So a lot of what I end up doing for my one-on-one clients and I've had mentors do for me is keep me on track with goals. And a lot of times as entrepreneurs, certainly we do a good job of taking chaos and making it organized, is we get bored, right? The reason we're good entrepreneurs is we see opportunity and the ability to organize where other people just see chaos and they can't do anything with it. That's the good news. Even better news, we're able to take that chaotic environment and make it stable, and then we get bored. So the only thing I would coach you and Cleaning Nation to do is make sure you're in touch with your goals. So if you're like, hey, I want to grow as fast as possible, adding service is probably not it. It's going to make it go slower. If you just want to make as much money as possible, adding services, especially when you're in a big market. Now, if you're in a tiny market and you're like, I'm saturated, I can't grow anymore. Adding services is kind of I don't say necessary evil, but that's what you got to do unless you can open up another market. When you're in a market like Atlanta, DC, a lot of Florida markets, LA, New York, New Jersey, there's a lot of, you know, the top 20 markets in town. Until you're doing millions of dollars, it doesn't make sense to split up. Now, if you're going, I did it because I want to. My main goal is not to make as much money as fast as possible or grow as fast as possible. I just thought it'd be fun and that's what I want to do. God bless you. It's your company. There's that's what we are here to do, is to make this company serve you. So if you were saying, hey, I thought this is the quickest way to grow, I'd go, I disagree. I think you're on the wrong track. I think if you said, I think we'll make more money that way faster, I disagree. I think you're on the wrong track. If you say, I'm making the money that I want to make, I just thought it'd be fun, then let's do it, right? So any thoughts or considerations on that before we talk about how to do what you're trying to do?
Yeah, man, that's exactly right.
Okay,
I just,
cool.
You know, there's only so much house cleaning you can take, right?
Well, and that's
you got to take a bird's eye view sometimes.
I just love that you called it for what it is. So many people, I don't say want to lie, but they're dishonest with themselves, and they're just honest with me and go, oh, no, I just want to grow. I want to grow. And then when I tell them that's not the way to do it, they don't listen. There's a disconnect. But you were honest and go, I just thought it'd be fun. Great. That's the perfect reason to do that. And might you make a little money? Sure. Maybe probably less money than if you just focus, but that's okay, because it's not all about money. Money's one of the things that we track, but not all of them. So I just love that you're like, I just want to do it. Great. That's the right answer. I'm 1,000% behind you. I prefer that answer to some sort of BS. Oh, I want to grow. It's like, no, I just got bored and I want to do it. If you're okay with potentially slowing the growth, but you enjoy it more, that's fantastic. There's zero wrong with that. Far be it for me to say you have to be at $500,000 or $1 million or $10 million or whatever the case may be, or make X amount of money. If that's what you want to do, just as long as you're clear on why you're doing it, I'm with you. All right, now let's talk about the how. I'm a big fan of transitioning. I don't like, well, first of all, are you doing this for other customers? If I called you and said, come clean my carpets or windows, but I do not want recurring maid service, would you take that account, or are you only doing it for your recurring customers?
Well, right now, because I'm just testing the waters and I haven't got a reliable team yet, I've only really been offering it to recurring customers. Or if people do book on, you know, there is an option on our booking form for carpet cleaning, not for window cleaning yet. If they do book on carpet cleaning, we will do it for them. But very few do besides our recurring customers, just because we don't advertise it yet.
Okay. I like that. I'm not a fan of... The reason I like, one of the many reasons, but probably the biggest reason I like the cleaning business, is the recurring nature of it. It is so much. I had a car dealership which had a lot of money to open the doors every month. And every month I started at zero. We had to go sell 30 cars or 50 cars or whatever, well, you know, certain amount to break even. And if we didn't, it was just a mess. The cleaning company's not like that. You know, you told me that I couldn't have done that in the car business. We're doing 18 grand a month and I want to be at 50 grand a month by the end of the year. That's fantastic. At the car dealership, I can tell you how many cars I sold last month, but that may or may not have any bearing on how many cars I'm going to sell this month. So I love the recurring nature of it. So if we are going to add services, I'm a huge proponent, certainly one-time services, which I'm not a fan of, right? Because we're trading out recurring, easy. We sell it once, we get it set up once, and then it's just this little machine runs and just cranks out money for us. I like that. We kind of turn that in for, I got to go here, do this specific work, and you're a new customer, and I get to get John. It's a whole marketing thing. I don't like that work, and it's not profitable work. But if like, I already got these 50 or 100 or 200 people, or however many people that know, like, and trust me, I'm going to sell them some more stuff. I'm more for that. So I would 1,000% encourage you to do what you're doing, and I wouldn't even to start, and maybe ever, take any carpet cleaning and window cleaning customers, because they're kind of recurring. You know what I'm saying? They might do it every 2, 3, 4 times a year, but they're not recurring, right? You can't say, give me $1,000 now and I'll come back every 4 months typically. I mean, that'd be a great way to do it. But so long story short, I would definitely look at that as an add-on to maid services. And then if I wanted to grow my carpet cleaning business, well, I grow the maid service business. And I know naturally some of those, that a lot of that's going to matriculate down to the carpet cleaning. So first and foremost, I would encourage you to continue on the, this is a service I offer to my current clients, not to make money with new people. And if I want more carpet cleaning, window cleaning, I get more maid service. And then it accelerates the growth. Any pushback or hesitation or questions on that before we move on?
No, it sounds like a great starting point.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, honestly.
Second piece is, I wasn't sure what you're saying. It sounds like you're contracting people, like you're contracting other retail companies and buying at wholesale and selling at retail, or going to just carpet cleaners and say, be my carpet cleaner.
Yeah, so here's what I've done so far. We did find one good company that will do carpet cleaning with us. Mm-hmm. And so when a recurring customer books, we will send it to them. But so it's contracting, yes. But the problem is they're very expensive, so we don't make any profit on them. What we want to do is bring on, instead of companies, we want to bring on independent carpet cleaners. And I've tried a few out, but it just hasn't, we've tried a similar process to bring on house cleaners, but it just hasn't worked out for us.
So the way I'd look at that is I would find, there are good, I shouldn't say there are, my assumption is it's a safe bet there are good cleaning companies that you can say, hey, I want to buy wholesale, right? If I came to you and said, hey, Christopher, I'm going to bring you 10 new clients a month at $250 a month, I want $250 each. So I get the first month of, or whatever, say 150. I want all the profit. I want $150 each, and you get them forever. You'd probably pay me that, or some amount of money you would pay that, correct? Because we've got to...
Yeah, I'd do that.
Sure. That's what we want with carpet cleaning, right? Hey, if I'm going to bring you $5,000 a month or $2,000 or $10,000, wherever you're at, I want to buy that at wholesale, right? There's a difference when I go to the auction, I buy 100 cars a month than if I go, you know, to a lot and buy one. So I'm going to look to buy wholesale and tell a guy, what does it cost you to get a client? What is five? You know what I'm saying? There's a value to that, right? So I would like to get that value. So you don't want to buy retail and try and sell retail. You want to buy wholesale and sell retail. So this guy, and the good thing is, trust me, it's he thinks it's much easier, and it is much easier to do the work than it is to get the client. So you're doing the hard part. That's an easy one to go to, right? Like, if he came to you and said, hey, I've got a bunch of cleaners, I'll sell it to you cheap if you can find the people. Not many people are going to take up, you know, find the customers. Not many people are going to take them up on that deal. But if you say, I'll find the customers, you bring the work. You've already got all this infrastructure set up and going. I just need to buy wholesale because I'm going to bring you 10 jobs a month. He should give you a discount. And if he's not willing to do that, keep looking. He's just not a smart business person. You'll find one. So I would definitely look to find a retail carpet cleaning company that has multiple people. So it's on them. If one guy gets sick or doesn't show up, or one of the truck mounts breaks, all that crap is handled. He's got three truck mounts and 10 guys, and he's going to handle all that headache. But he's still going to sell wholesale and buy retail. And you're going to sell wholesale and buy from him retail. Now, that doesn't mean you couldn't make a little bit more. Say it's a $500 carpet cleaning job. You got to pay him $300. Well, maybe if you did it yourself, you could do it for $200. Well, that extra $100 in profit, to me, isn't worth having to have the truck man and all that. So that's the first thing I would do, is try and set up that kind of a relationship where it sounds like the guy that you've got is good. You just need to negotiate wholesale pricing with him and go, hey, I get if I just buy one carpet every 3 months, I pay the retail rate. But if I buy 17 every month, maybe I get a wholesale rate. And if he doesn't get that, then I would move on. The other way you can leverage that, which is taking it to the next level, is form a strategic alliance. You might say to him, hey, I'm going to have you do all of my carpet cleaning, and I'm not going to make any money off of it. But I'm going to refer all my people to you. They're going to give a discount or whatever. You know, we're going to give them some spec, you know, three rooms for $54 or something, you know, one of those kind of good way to get people in. And in exchange, you're going to give first 3 hours of house cleaning for $57 to all of your customers. So you guys can, you'll do better with the strategic alliance of those people. Instead of trying to sell your people more carpet services, I would be prone to giving the carpet guy the opportunity to do that in exchange for my opportunity to sell his people more services. So if you tell all of your customers, hey, we've got this new thing, you're going to get the and it has to be a spectacular deal. Don't lie to them. But you know, usually this cleaning would be a $300 cleaning, but because you're one of my clients, you get it for $97. You're going to get a lot better response because they know, like, and trust you than he would get making that same offer to a bunch of strangers. The flip side is he might have 1,000 customers or 500 customers. He can make that same offer to his customers. Hey, because you're one of my customers, you get this amazing 3 hours for $47. They're going to be a big uptake on that. So I'm really looking to leverage his client list more so than I am his extractor. So maybe you make an extra $2,000 or $3,000 on carpets a month by doing that. You could, you know, add 20 or 30 customers in one shot by doing a strategic alliance with them. Is that, I know that's a big concept for a small amount of time. Any questions?
No, that's a really good idea. I kind of did something similar. I joined BNI months and months ago, and there was a home organizer there in my local chapter, and we kind of did a spring cleaning promotion together, and we got each other a few clients. So that sounds similar to what you're saying, except on a better, sort of bigger, better, more personal scale with the company. I think that could be a really good route to go, at least until I have a couple of teams of my own. I think that could be good to dip my toes in, make sure we can handle it, make sure we can do the expansion okay. Yeah.
So that's how I would start. Is first, I would only start, I'm going to review them. We got to hit the lightning round because we're way over on time. First and foremost, start with only your customers adding. Don't try and do new customers. Second, I would start with buying wholesale and selling retail. Third, I would try and leverage that relationship and say, hey, instead of making a couple extra bucks on extra services, why don't I just convert 20% of your customers to my customers and give you the opportunity to do the same thing? Third, and finally, at the very end of that, then I would hire my own in-house stuff. But I would take that transition period, as opposed to, I would follow each one of those steps. I wouldn't just go from zero to hiring people. All right, enough of me yapping. I want to make sure we give you the opportunity to have lightning round, because I'm really excited to hear your answers, especially we can compare them to what you said last time. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh man, has that changed in the past year?
And if not, you can give the honest answer is what we want. If it's the same answer you gave last time, God bless you. That's okay.
The honest answer doesn't come from business. It comes from I do a lot of like hand balancing and other types of like fun types of movement and exercise. The best piece of advice I ever received was from a guy called Ido Portal. He said, you should learn from anyone who's really good at anything and they're willing to teach you. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, making knives or business or how to take out the trash. Like if there's someone who's really good at something, you should be humble enough to learn from them.
Gosh, that is good
advice. That's probably the best advice I've ever received.
That's top 10 of what I've heard on the show, and I've had hundreds of best advices, but I love that. You got the high performers in any areas have multiple coaches, right? They've got, Tiger Woods is on the downhill, but on the uphill, I'm sure he had a strength and conditioning coach. I'm sure he had a mental coach. I'm sure he had a golf coach. I'm sure he probably had a nutritionist. So if you're going to be at the top of your game, absolutely right. I might, the guy that I get my workout advice from, I'm probably not going to take business advice from, but big chubby business guy like me, you may not take fitness advice from. So I love just kind of seeking the wisdom where it may be found. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
Oh man. I would say the biggest one is Angie's List, to be honest. This is very area dependent, but I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I had heard, and I'm getting onto marketing in general with this. I had heard so many people do so well with Angie's List, do 10K, 20K a month from Angie's List alone. And I thought, without thinking about it, I signed up for their package, not thinking that with any marketing channel at all in a local business, it's going to be very area dependent. And so I signed up for a 6-month, $5,000 contract with them. And I worked really hard optimizing my profile and really researching how a lot of the top companies were getting so much business from Angie's List. And I did all of that. And I didn't get a single sale in 6 months from Angie's List.
Wow.
And that put me in a bad position.
That
was really a big, big, big mistake on my part. I really regret it.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And honestly, so, I've heard very good experiences and very bad experiences, but never no business at all. That's insane.
Man, it crushed me. Yeah, I was depressed about that.
I wish I would have made it right
and tried to bash Angie's List.
I'm sorry, say again.
Yeah. My general point with that isn't to bash Angie's List.
Sure.
It's kind of to say, with any marketing channel that you're doing, really research it for your area first.
Yes.
Because I didn't do that. I just had blind faith and I jumped in there and it didn't work.
I'm constantly telling people when they say, where should I market? Where should I advertise? That's the wrong question. The right question is, who is my target market? What is their pain and where do they go to solve it? And then the answer to your question is you put the message, a compelling message that lets them know you can solve their pain wherever they go to solve it. And if that's Angie's List, then Angie's List is a great tool. For you, it wasn't Angie's List at all. So you made a great point. It's not Angie's List, good or bad. It's where are your customers? And if they're not Angie's List, then you can give them $100,000. It's not going to work. All right, last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something very simple and easy to implement that they can stop listening to the show and put into practice and get a little bit of benefit personally or professionally right now.
Yeah, I would say, so one thing since I've been traveling a lot this month, I haven't been able to get as much of my to-do list done as normal. So what I've done, I heard recently something that really resonated with me for when you're crunched for time and you're not as motivated to get work done, is something called the 1-3-5 rule. And what that is do one big task on your business every day, 3 medium-sized tasks, and 5 small tasks, and then you're done for the day.
And you're done for the day. I like that a lot. 1-3-5. I've never... I do a lot of reading and studying, and I've never heard that. So I love when I hear something I haven't heard before. The 1-3-5 rule. 1 big thing, 3 medium things, 5 small things, and then take a break.
Yeah, it's simple and it works pretty well. You may not get through everything, but you'll be sure that you got through really important things that you needed to do. And that's been working pretty well for me recently.
And if you can crank through all that stuff in 2.5 hours, you don't have to feel guilty about taking the rest of the day off.
Oh, if I may add one more thing to that, I know we're crunched for time.
Go ahead.
What I do is with my to-do list, I sort everything by how crucial they are. I use something called the ABCDE system, where A is absolutely crucial. You got to do this now. It's super important. And E is all the way like, that'd be nice someday. So it's a 2-step process. I sort everything by ABCDE, how important they are. And then I do the 1-3-5 rule. So because I can just pick the top thing and I know it's the most important thing to do.
Beautiful. Love it. I am seeing why you're getting so much done. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us. I love your perspective, your passion. the way you do things. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Christopher's show notes page, the links, everything we talked about is at growmycleaningcompany.com. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to see you at the website. Check it out. I will see you there.